Turn again to Philippians chapter 4. As I indicated there, the subject that I want to preach about is simply entitled Living as Christians. And I want to base my remarks on this text in Philippians 4 verse 5. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. There's a philosophy about today among many so-called Christians that God's people can live upon this earth whatever way they want. These so-called Christians believe that they have liberty to live how they please. In other words, there's no restrictions placed upon them. I can remember speaking to a man a number of years ago who professed to be a Christian, and he told me that as a Christian, he was at liberty to smoke, to drink as much alcohol as he pleased, and to choose whether to worship God in church or not. In fact, he did not even believe that he needed to be a member of a local congregation. Basically, what he was saying was that he could live his Christian life whatever way he desired. He believed that he had the liberty to do so, and that Christ had given him this liberty. Needless to say, I strongly disagreed with this man. Child of God, you and I as God's people have not the liberty to live our lives as we please. God has laid down in his word how we as his people are to live upon this earth, and it is up to us to search the scriptures and find out how we are to live our lives for Christ upon this scene of time. It is true that the gospel has set us free, but it is also true that the Word of God has laid down certain restrictions for us to follow. In Galatians 5, verse 13, the Apostle Paul said this, "Brethren, we have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh." The Apostle Paul was a man who knew what it was to live for Christ in this world of sin. Paul was a man who lived according to God's truth. Paul lived his life bringing glory to his Lord and Master Jesus Christ, and he always sought to obey the scriptures, and he always exhorted others to do the same. In Philippians 4 verse 5, our text for today, the Apostle is exhorting the saints at Philippi how they are to live their Christian lives upon this earth before men. Look at it again. He says to them, "Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand." What does this text mean? Well, as we come to look at this text today, and as we come to consider how we as Christians are to live our lives upon this earth, I pray that the Lord will speak to all of our souls, especially those of us who are saved today and claim to love the Lord. I pray that the Lord will indeed write his truth upon our hearts and upon our souls. First of all, we are to live godly lives. That's how we're to live our lives before this world. We're to live godly lives. Underline the phrase, "Let your moderation." Underline the word moderation. This word moderation is drawing our attention to how the child of God should act and live their lives upon this earth. It is referring, I believe, to every area of the Christian life: our walk, our talk, and our attitude. The word moderation in English means the avoidance of excess or extremes. However, the Greek word in the text has a wider and deeper meaning. It means to forbear. It means to yield. It means to possess. Therefore, as far as the Christian is concerned, the child of God is to live their lives as those whose lives are controlled by God and his word, as those whose lives are yielded to Christ, as those who demonstrate forbearance or kindness in their daily living, and as those who are tolerant and gracious towards others. The saints of God are not to show animosity towards others, and they are to judge charitably concerning one another. The Christian is to show a good disposition towards others. I want you to keep your hand in Philippians chapter 4, and I want you to turn over to Romans chapter 14 just for a moment. In Romans chapter 14, we see how the child of God is to display tolerance. I wonder today, are you a tolerant Christian? When our lives are yielded to Christ, and when God is in control of our lives, we will demonstrate the characteristic of tolerance towards others in the church of Jesus Christ. Look what it says in Romans 14 and verse 1. Paul here again under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Him that is weak in the faith, receive ye. In other words, be tolerant towards those whose faith may not be as strong as yours, and receive them as a brother and sister in Christ, and don't look down upon them. Look at verse 2. For one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not, and let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. In other words, show kindness and love and tolerance towards those who have different opinions in minor matters to yourself. This is what it means to show moderation in your Christian life, at least one aspect of it. Look at verse 13. Let us not, therefore, judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. In other words, we're not to make big issues out of small matters or judge one another. We are to be tolerant and gracious, manifesting the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. And of course, I'm sure we all know what the fruit of the Spirit is. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Child of God, are we displaying this kind of moderation in our daily walk with God? That's a challenging question, isn't it? However, our moderation is more than just being tolerant. It means being in subjection to the will of God. It means being in subjection to the ways of God. It means being in subjection to the Word of God. It means bringing our lives into subjection to God. In Romans chapter 6, there's a very interesting verse. It's verse 13. Again, take the time to turn it up and underline it in your Bible. Here's what Paul says in Romans 6, verse 13. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God, as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Therefore, what is our moderation, child of God? It is the Christian's godly living. It is our testimony. It is our walk with God. It is our attitude towards others. It is the life that we live upon this earth. Therefore, as the world looks upon us, what do they see and what do they hear? As other Christians look upon us, what do they see? What do they hear? What do they observe? Oh, I pray today that you and I will realize that the world is looking on, that others are looking on, and they're observing us. Indeed, that's the second thing I want you to notice here. If you take a look at the text again in Philippians 4 verse 5, how are we to live upon this earth? We're to live godly lives. But also we are to live so that others see Christ in us. Look at verse 5. Let your moderation, underline these words, be known unto all men. Be known unto all men. In other words, let all men observe our godly lives. Let all men see our tolerance and kindness and gracious manner as we live before them on this earth. Let all men see Christ in us. Child of God, we should never be ashamed of living our lives for Christ before all men. Even the most wicked of men should see that we are not ashamed to live for the Lord Jesus. Why? Why is it important that we live our lives before others, that others see Christ in us? Well, there's basically two reasons. I'm sure that you can think of many more, but I'll just give you two. First of all, that our lives will bring glory to Christ. We should live our lives before men in order to bring glory and honor to our blessed Savior. What is man's chief end? The Catechism says man's chief end is to glorify God, to enjoy Him forever, to glorify God. And our lives will glorify God through our godly living. When others see Christ in us, in other words, when others see our moderation, we will bring glory to the Lord and to His name and to His cause. But there's another reason why others must see Christ in us. That our lives will bring sinners to Christ. Child of God, how can we win men to Christ if they fail to see Christ in us? And again, that's a challenge for each and every one of us. 2 Corinthians 3 verse 2, Paul says to the saints at Corinth, ye are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. It's a true saying that the world, they'll not take the time to read their Bible, but they'll always read the Christian. And it's not true. There are few today who read their Bibles, but they're reading you and I, child of God, especially when we profess that we are Christians, that we are saved, that we are redeemed by the precious blood of the Lamb. They're watching our every move. They're listening for our every word. Turn over to 1 Thessalonians for a moment. It's one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. It describes the believers at Thessalonica. And I'm sure that you have read this chapter many times. But they were a church. They were a band of believers who shone out in their testimony. And all around them, even those in the world, could see that here was a church on fire for God and who lived godly lives before the world. Look at verse 6 of 1 Thessalonians 1. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord. So they got saved. And of course, read the book of Acts, and you'll read there how Paul went into the city of Thessalonica, and for three Sabbath days he preached Christ. And as he preached Christ, many heathens were converted to Christianity. And after they were converted, a church was formed, and they began to live for the Lord and to shine out for Christ. And this is what Paul is saying here. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word of God in much affliction, with joy of the Holy Ghost, although they were afflicted for the word of God. The joy was in their hearts. Their hearts were full of rejoicing. Isn't that what we've been seeing in the book of Philippians, how Paul has exhorted the saints to rejoice in the Lord always? And again I say rejoice. Well, the Christians of Thessalonica were just the same. And they rejoiced in the Lord. Look at verse 7. But so that ye were examples, or examples, to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Underline it. In every place, your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. They were examples to all around them. Not only to other saints, but to the sinners in the world. In every place, their faith to God's word was spread abroad. Everyone knew about this church. Everyone heard about their faith and heard about their godliness and heard about their walk. And they lived up to their talk. And they were those who shone out for Christ in their testimony. They were an example to others. Child of God, this is how we are to live our Christian lives. We're to live our Christian lives as good examples to all around us. Are we examples to others? Do others see Christ in us? How can we win men to the Savior if men do not see Jesus in us? I want you to turn to another portion. It's a familiar portion, but again, it'll emphasize the truth that I'm seeking to get across here. Matthew chapter 5, the Lord Jesus speaking here, the Sermon on the Mount, and here's what the Lord Jesus says concerning his disciples and concerning his saints and concerning the church of Christ. Verse 13, again, they're words that are familiar, but as we read down them, child of God, you asked yourself the question, is this my life? Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. We're the salt of the earth, the Bible tells us. Indeed, the Lord Jesus Christ tells us here, we are the light of the world, the Savior emphasizes. And we are to let our light shine before men. In other words, the world has to see Christ in us. Does it? What a great responsibility, child of God, you and I have in this world. We have to let our moderation, we have to let our godly living be known unto all men. We're to live so that others see Christ in us. Again, that's a tremendous challenge because, as you and I know, we are only but sinners saved by grace. That's why it is so important to pray every morning that God gives us that grace to live for Him. We need to pray that God fills us afresh with His Holy Spirit. And child of God, the truth is that you and I cannot shine out for Christ. We cannot live the way the Lord wants us to live unless we know the infilling of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And Paul said, on one occasion, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Holy Ghost. And my, if there's a day and age when God's people need to be filled with the Holy Ghost, then it is this day in which we live. Of course, being filled with the Holy Ghost is a daily process. It's not that we're filled once and that's the end of it. Oh no, the Apostle Paul was filled every day with the Holy Ghost. Read the life of Peter. Peter had to be filled each day with the Holy Spirit. And of course, when he wasn't filled with the Holy Spirit, he let the Lord down. He denied the Lord. And he was the man that was to blame. And the truth is that if we are not constantly, continually, and of course that's what that text means, when it says, be ye filled with the Spirit, it means being continually filled. We need to be filled today with the Holy Spirit. We need to be filled tomorrow with the Holy Spirit. We need to be filled with the next day with the Holy Spirit. How are we filled with the Holy Spirit? We ask, if we being evil know how to give good gifts unto our children, how much more shall our Heavenly Father give the Holy Ghost to them that ask? We need the power of the Holy Spirit to serve the Lord. We need the power of the Holy Spirit to live for the Lord day by day so that others might see Christ in us, so that we will live those godly lives. Upon this scene of time, how are we to live as Christians upon this earth? We are to live godly lives. Let your moderation. Child of God, it's your moderation. It's my moderation. Oh, what a responsibility that places upon the individual Christian. upon your life and upon my life. How are we to live upon this earth? We are to live so that others see Christ in us. Let your moderation be known unto all men. Not only those in the church of Christ, those that we pray with. Our moderation is not only to be seen there, but outside the church, in our communities, in our workplace, wherever we are, day by day. We need that gracious help of the Spirit of the Lord to walk before this world. Now, there's something else I want you to notice here. Take a look at the text again. And all we're doing is just going through the text, pointing out what I believe the text is teaching. And I pray that the Lord will write these words upon your heart and upon your soul. This is a word for you and I for this week. Indeed, it's a word for the rest of our lives. But especially for today and tomorrow and this week, how are we to live our lives? As Christians, we're to live godly lives. And we're to live that others see Christ in us. Thirdly, we're to live in the light of the second coming of Christ. That's how we're to live our lives day by day. Look what it says. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. This phrase, the Lord is at hand, it literally means His expected return. The second coming of Christ is at hand. The Son of God is coming again, and He's coming again soon. And His return is expected by the saints of God. Now, is Christ's second coming expected by you today? Are you expecting His return? Now, you said to me, of course, preacher, I believe in the second coming of Christ. And there's no Christian here today who would deny the second coming of Christ. We would defend the second coming of Christ, but not so much thinking about the theological doctrine. I'm thinking about us, you and I, who are saved, walking, living for the Lord today. Are we today expecting the second return of the Lord? Are we today expecting it? In other words, let me put it another way. Are we living our lives in anticipation that Jesus is coming today? Are we living our lives in the light of the second coming of Christ? James 5 verse 8 says, "The coming of the Lord draweth nigh." Because of this child of God, we need to live on this earth in the light of His second coming. Now I know that there are certain events that still have to take place before the Lord comes again. And we could begin today to discuss those. But that's not what I'm discussing today. I'm discussing how we as Christians live our lives upon this earth. How we live our lives today. How we live our lives tomorrow. We live godly lives. That's what God wants us to do. He wants us to live so that others might see Christ in us. But He wants us to live in the light of His second coming. Hebrews 9 verse 28 says, "So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many." Now listen to this. And remember, Paul wrote these words over 2,000 years ago. "And unto them that look for Him shall He appear the second time without sin unto salvation." The saints of God, 2,000 years ago, they were looking for Him to appear from heaven. They were looking for the second coming of Christ. They did not only believe in the second coming of Christ, but they lived their lives in the light of that second coming. Oh, child of God, if you and I knew, if we knew that the Lord was coming today at 3 o'clock, I wonder, would we live our lives any different than we had been living them? If we knew for definite that at 3 o'clock today, the clouds would burst asunder and the Lord would come back again, would we live our lives any different? I believe that we would all live our lives a little different, including the preacher. And Paul here, as he wrote to the saints, he said concerning them, that unto them that look for him or watch for him shall he appear the second time. Child of God, if we are looking for Christ's second coming, and we should be, we will live for him in the light of that coming. Turn over just for a moment. I know time's hastening on here, but 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, and underline these words. Here we have Paul, and he's coming to speak about the second coming of Christ, and they're words I'm sure that, again, many of us are familiar with. But sometimes with familiar texts of Scripture, we read through them very quickly and we fail to get the full thrust of the text. Look at verse 9 of 1 Thessalonians 1. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. So we're coming back again to speak about these Christians at Thessalonica, these ones that were these Christians that had a good example, and they were living for the Lord and they were serving the Lord. But look what it says in verse 10 about these Christians, and to wait for his Son from heaven. In other words, they were living for Christ in the light of his second coming. They were waiting for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Oh, now we can see one of the reasons why these Christians at Thessalonica lived godly lives, why they shone out in their testimony, why day by day their moderation was seen by all men, because they wanted to be living well when Jesus would come again. And child of God, that ought to be our desire. We ought to want to be living well when Jesus comes again. And when I talk about living well, I'm not talking about living in the laps of luxury. I'm not talking about having all our needs met materially. I'm talking about spiritually, and of course you would know that. Living for the Lord. We need to live each day of our lives as if Christ is coming back today. That's how we are to live our Christian lives upon this earth. The Lord is at hand. In Luke 21 and verse 28, it says this, look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. In 2 Thessalonians 1 verse 10, it says, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Oh, the Lord Jesus is coming again. Of that there is no doubt. My friend, if you're found in this meeting and you're not saved, when the Lord Jesus comes again, what an awful day that will be for you. Oh, I would exhort you this afternoon to come and put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus loves you. He demonstrated that love when he died upon the cross and shed his blood for your sins. And thank God, when he died upon the middle tree on Golgotha's brow, he died the just for the unjust, so that he might bring you unto salvation. And the Lord will save you this Lord's day. You may have come into God's house on your way to a lost eternity, but you can leave God's house on your way to heaven. You may have come in your sin, weighing you down and burdening you down. Thank God your sin can be forgiven today, and you can be cleansed from every stain, and you can know peace with God. You can be reconciled to God. You can begin today your journey to heaven. And when the Lord comes back again, praise God, then you, along with those of us who are saved, you can go to heaven. You can go to glory. Would you not like that? Would you not desire that? Oh, my friend, that's what I would desire for you. And that's what I pray for you every day and every week, that the Lord will save your precious soul. that when we're all gathered home in heaven, when this old world is destroyed after the second coming of Christ, when we get home to heaven, that all who come to Bethel will be safely gathered in and be in heaven and be in glory. Child of God, you and I, until that day comes, we have a responsibility. Let your moderation be known unto all men. Let your moderation be known unto all men. We can't live as we please. We can't live as we please. We have to live according to God's word. God has set a standard there. God has laid out rules and regulations. We just can't do whatever we please. Now, here's the question in your life and in my life. What areas of our lives are we not living according to the book? And only you can answer that. What areas of our lives are we not living according to the book? Oh, I pray that the Lord will help us in these days to let our moderation be known unto all men. For the Lord's at hand. The Lord's coming. Let us pray.